So we'll start with the invocation, please. Toward the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we are continuing our series on breath, let's begin our evening tonight by remembering that the out-breath, in both its most surface form, which is the respiration of the air we breathe in the lungs, but also the most deep form of the unseen world, we radiate as we extend the exhalation of breath. And we receive on the inhalation. So let us begin by, first of all, attuning through our out-breath to all of our loved ones, our families, imagine that you can touch them with your breath. Touch them with your heart, even if they're no longer on the earth. And send out your radiating heart energy through the breath to our brothers and sisters on the path, the ones present here in this room and the ones who are not here with us tonight due to so many reasons that might prevent us from being all together in one place. Touch them with the gentle, loving touch of the breath of prana. So that wherever they might be in their world, they would feel that breath passing by and like a voice that they would hear. And send that same energy to spiritual teachers that you've taken hand with in one form or another, who have given you wisdom on the way, and by extension all spiritual teachers, all the ones who guide us, and ultimately to the Spirit of Guidance itself. And imagine your breath could touch the illumined ones, the masters, the saints, and the prophets. Can you radiate your heart through your breath to Christ, to the Buddha, to the angels and archangels, radiating your breath to the One who gave you this breath, to the Beloved. Which which we touch within and without and all around and through, who is closer to us than our own jugular vein, whose being is our breath. All that tuning, we can certainly put that into the breath of music and the breath of our voices. So we direct the energy of the deepest parts of us in the heart, in our spiritual power, Soha. Om Tara Tutare Ture Soha. Thank you. desires is offered with every breath you take. The rose whose scent you seek is blooming at your very feet. Get the words correct, everybody. The love. Thank you. us really deeply impress that idea, that impression, into our heart and soul. The love that is the deepest desire of your deepest, deepest heart, the roots of the roots of the roots. It's offered to us. Offered. With every breath we take. So this is the receiving. It's offered to us, so we put our hands out, the hands of our soul and heart and spirit and mind, and we accept that gratefully, fully, wholeheartedly. We receive as we breathe in. And as we breathe out, we radiate the gift of that love that's been offered to us, the deepest essence. And if we recall the aspects of the breath that we studied last week, as we breathe in and we attune to the quality of the depth of the breath, this is where we receive and we take that prana, and it goes by its nature to every cell of our being. It reaches deep, deep, deep into us. Every cell receives it. And as we exhale, it's the expanding radiance into the aspect of the breath we call the range or the distance, the capacity and the nature of the breath to extend. So we see the sun's radiance, but can we think of the sun's deep glowing? Because the sun has depth and radiance. We have depth and radiance. And then we can also recall and tune to the third dimension of the breath, which is volume, scope. We can feel in the action of our respiration its fullness, ideally. And if it is shallow, if you find your breath to be shallow and its scope is narrow, then gradually begin to open. So the breath is fuller, you feel the expansion of the belly and the diaphragm, where the thoracic cavity meets the abdominal cavity, the intercostal muscles along the side and the chest. Very gentle opening, not forcing anything as if we need to expand to our fullest extent, but rather just a very gentle opening into fullness. And then there is the centeredness of the breath, the fourth aspect of the breath, that we direct the core of the breath to the core of our being, two finger widths below the navel. The center of our physical gravity, the nafs center. So even though the breath extends through the depths into the distance, there's a center of this solar system of the breath, and that is this place. And finally, be aware of the breath's natural rhythm without forcing any rhythm. Notice that if let alone, the breath indeed breathes quite naturally in the same way that the heart beats with rhythm. The breath is no different. If we interfere with it and try to control it too much, then we won't be able to watch this aspect. We just have to let it have its rhythm. And finally, by way of review, let us take 5 breaths with the Khasav breath, the stronger, exhilarating breath. Full breath in, full breath out, and open up your hands so the palms are facing towards each other at a distance, perhaps on your knees, shoulder width apart, or even farther. So you're taking strong breaths. They might be a little bit audible. Stirring your being with this denser breath. Make sure your out breath is complete. Change the breath to a very different kind of breath. The Latif breath, very subtle. One needs to have a very still body, you don't need to, but it's ideal to have a very still body and a still mind when you're trying to breathe in a very subtle way with the breath of the Latif. This breath too has great depth and great distance, infinitely more distance than the denser breath, infinitely more depth than the denser breath. Its volume may be less in terms of the oxygenated air we breathe in, but its volume of prana is more. Is greater. Its centeredness is the same as any harmonious breath in the solar plexus, and its rhythm is generally, you'll find it becomes naturally slower, but you just have to see what it is. Now just keep breathing with that as I just read a few sentences of the reading that we read last week by way of a very brief review of prana. Just keep breathing like that. Breath is what the Sufis call nafas. Nafas. The breath spreads through the whole body like a tree, and its stem is felt by the human being. It is this stem which we call in our everyday language breath. All the branches of this tree the mystic calls by different names. A mystic sees the whole body as the plant of the breath. Therefore, in the Sanskrit way, the breath is called prana, which means the very life. It spreads life and magnetism in all parts of the body, for breath in itself is life and is magnetism. Breath is the first lesson, and it is also the last. Oh. All right, Amin, let's take a moment to shift if you need to, open up your eyes, wake up, whatever you need to do. Is there any thoughts, comments, questions about the review of last week's material, your experience of it during your practice this week, or thoughts about it, questions, anything?
My first question about the window being open, the window that I can stand at that's open, unfortunately sort of faces over a very busy street with lots of traffic and cars and exhaust. So I'm wondering, you know, if it's...
You should move, really. You should just move. That's all there is to it, Lynn. Next question.
I know, it's not a good thing, but...
It's a very, very good question. If at 3 o'clock in the morning you can open up your window, if you happen to be up at that time of day and there's very few cars, do it then.
Sometimes I am.
I know, of
I
course.
What
street is it?
16th, near Dunbar.
Oh, yeah. So at that time of day there won't be many cars.
No.
So if there's a time of day or if it's a snowstorm or something, by all means open up the window and take it in.
Yeah.
But not if it's a lot of busyness.
That's what I was wondering, because there's a lot of sound that's coming through.
The sound is not so bad. It's it's more what's in the air.
Yeah.
So there you're better off to... it's the only window you have?
Well, that I could... There's low windows, but then I'd be down like this.
Oh, you don't have to be right. Like when I do it, I open up that window over there, but I stand a little bit a ways. You don't actually... I mean... The way Hazrat Nayak Khan told us to do this was to actually go to a doorway and stand in the doorway.
Yeah.
So the ideal way, if you want to go to the most ideal, be out in nature, around trees, by a river, or by in English Bay, be out in nature.
Yeah.
So I guess the opposite end of the spectrum, you would do these practices in a concrete room with no windows.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know... Everything else is in between, and just do your best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other questions or comments or anything from anything we just covered before we move on to the theme of this evening? Okay. So tonight we're going to go into much more detail and depth about one of the fundamental core practices that we do in this order. And as I said last week, Hazrat Nayak Khan was very, very clear with his initiates that when you take hand in this order, and that may be very formally through initiation, or it might just be through your association with Thursday evening classes, that's a way of taking hand as well. In other words, if you feel drawn to this tradition and you just keep coming back for some unknown reason, then you should do this practice, the elemental purification breaths. I shouldn't use the word should, mustn't say must, never say never, but this was the prescription, the purification breaths and prayer. So if you did nothing else, those are the practices that were recommended. If you do other practices, you shouldn't give up these practices in order to do those practices. All the other ones are add-ons. And this isn't for just for beginners. This is for all stages along the spiritual path. So I'm sure Pir Vilayat, at the very end of his life, when he was in his late 80s, was still doing the purification breaths on as much as of a daily basis as he could do. And he started, I'm sure, when he was 10 or younger, when he took hand. So if all the great mystics do these practices all their life, then there's no reason why we would think, well, I've done that for a year or two, I can graduate on to other things. And the practices are very simple, but they continue to deepen and evolve and transform us in different ways throughout our life. So, it's the fundamental practice. if we do a practice just at a certain time of day, in a certain state, it's a discipline. It's a practice. The usefulness of that is quite limited. You know, it's not going to really do a whole lot for us. It'll do something, but not a whole lot. When does a practice become, when does it bear fruit? Well, it bears fruit when we've done it long enough, with enough faith, with enough regularity, with enough rhythm, and with enough generalization into our lives, that it then bears fruit in our lives. It really, it's like as if we said, if you were a Christian, you say the Lord's Prayer in the morning, and you just, you know, sail through it, sail through it, sail through it. That's not going to do it very much. There's a little bit of mastery just from doing something regularly, but, you know, really, it's not going to change your life. But if you contemplate that prayer every single day and you say it very deeply, pretty soon you'll, in the middle of your day, a line from that prayer will guide you in that moment. You'll be in conversation with somebody and some aspect of it will radiate through as being, ah, this is what meant by that. So in other words, it begins to speak to you through your life. That's when practice becomes spiritual fruit and treasures. So I say that by way of this practice, which we might do in the morning, for, and it takes about, I don't know, 5 minutes. If we just do it then for 5 minutes, it'll do something, bless you. If we just do it then, it will actually have a good effect, but it's only with daily repetition over many days, weeks, months, years, decades. Then this practice begins to become so integrated into our being that it helps us to harmonize our whole day. So when we dream at night, we're still having the positive effects of the purification breaths. Is that understood? Did I make sense there?
I heard a story of a young woman who had to go for surgery, quite a serious surgery. And she was given the usual anesthetic on the way into the operating room. She was helped onto the operating table, and all was ready. The surgeon was ready, and then she began to say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And she just said it through the anesthetic. Yes. And so deep was it in her being. Nothing could stop her.
That's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
To illustrate what I was saying. It becomes so, so ingrained in us. Mm-hmm. It goes right to the root of the root of the root.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no longer just a discipline that we do in the morning. But it becomes really part of us and guides us, comforts us when we need comfort, refreshes us when we need refreshment, revitalizes us, calms us when we're agitated. These are all very good things in our lives.
There's another which I sometimes use from Psalm 33. Though we walk through the valley of evil, thou art with me.
Yes. Mm. Yes. This is the psalm that I said over and over again when I was a child. It took me through very difficult years of childhood.
I also used it, yes.
Yes. What we're really saying is that the practice is a practice if it's confined to a certain time of day, and we just do it as a discipline, but it becomes medicine when we actually integrate it. So there are some real basics with this practice. What are some of the basics of the elemental purification breaths?
Stand still.
So we stand, yes. So there's a posture with it. And the posture is standing with our hands to the side, but palms facing forward, or slightly inclined forward, with the feet shoulder width or even a little bit more than shoulder width apart, and the face moving quite forward like this, a bit like the Da Vinci human being, but not quite as extended, of course. Good. What other fundamental aspects of can you remember from last week or from your practice?
Are you supposed to be facing north?
In prayer we face north, and with this practice you face wherever the open window is facing you, wherever your porch happens. Okay, that works fine. There's no absolutes about direction with this. Okay. And even with prayer, I mean, you hear different things, actually. I never heard Pier Vilayat say about directing yourself north. Mm-hmm. I've only heard that since Pier Zia has been Pier. So this is another part of the structure. We've talked about this. The open window, or standing in the doorway, or ideally in nature. Time of day?
Every day the same, if possible.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And which time of day? Morning is best.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do this, you can do the purification breath any time of day, and it's recommended to do it throughout the sunlight hours. To do it in the evening, I don't know about you, but after our class last week, I slept about 1 hour or 2 hours, because we were doing the breath practices, and so I got kind of juiced up. So in the evening, breath practices can be very stimulating, but if you're trying to establish a regular practice, the earlier in the day the better for these practices. So, sunrise.
Same time.
Same time.
Why the same time?
Oh, why the same time? To establish rhythm. Rhythm strengthens the impression of it. So
like you can't do it at 6.
No, you can. Absolutely you can. We're just talking about ideals here. No, I do it sometimes at 5, sometimes at 6:30, but if you were to do it every single day with regularity at 6 a.m., that would lend itself some power.
Mm-hmm.
None of these are absolutes. You don't have to have the open window, it's just better.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it at the same time every day, but it's better. Good, so posture, location, time of day. The other thing about location is the same location would be ideal. So if you're traveling about, different places of the house, it's good, to still do the practice that way. But space really does gather its own prana, its own power. So,
would spend some time on thoughts of nature as included in the breath.
Absolutely.
So it's not just breathing in and out, but...
So we're going to talk about that, Ruth. Yeah. We're going to talk about the structure of the actual practice, which includes this kind of visualizations and other things. So those are the preps, right? There's also another prep which many of the Marids do, which is Khasab. Khasab is the practice of alternate nostril breathing. So this is not a have-to, but... it's kind of the purification before the purification. And we might, if I do any more classes on breath, I'll do the practice of alternate nostril breathing. It has many, many variations, but it's an excellent way to clear the channels. That's what the word khasab means. It's the tubes or the channels, and it clears them so that when you do the purification breaths, you're working with clearer pipes, so to speak. So that's all the preparation that I can think of. Now, let's talk about the structure of this practice, how it actually is done. So, as Ruth just said, there's a breath pattern. And if you want to teach somebody really quickly, you would say, well, we do these breath practices, and there's when you're focusing on the earth, it's in and out the nostrils. With water, it's in the nostrils, out the mouth. With fire, it's in the mouth and out the nostrils. And with air, it's in and out the mouth. And do you remember what ether is?
So,
neither and both. Those are my words, by the way, not Murshid. Murshid says, very, very, very subtle breath in nostrils and mouth, out nostrils and mouth. But I say neither because it's so subtle you can sometimes really not feel it physically. like in terms of the actual concrete surface respiration. So there you're tuning much more into the subtle unseen aspects of the breath. So there's the breath pattern. And I'm going to send this out to people who are interested. This is all written out in a file that I'm going to send out if people need a file for it. In addition to breath pattern, there is color vibration. So this, I've often said visualization, but I've changed my teaching on this over the years because visualization really makes you focus too much on what the eyes do and what the visual cortex does. So it's a very certain part of the senses. Color vibration is, it's a bit like what you would feel if you were sitting in a red room with your eyes closed. You would feel something different than you would if you were sitting in a white room with your eyes closed and you didn't even know what the color was. In other words, color has vibration to it. So when we are doing a certain breath, let's say the earth breath, we are just saturating ourselves with the feel of golden yellow. And so if you just think, I'm going to visualize golden yellow like a field of wheat or something, that does help, but it's going to actually limit it. The much more unlimited way of experiencing color vibration is it's just, Pierzia uses the word, the phrase sensus communis. It's
sense of what?
It's Latin. The sensus communis, which is the sense that senses the senses. He says our senses, our five senses, senses the world. Mm-hmm. But what senses the senses? The sensus communis, which is the integrated kind of internal subjective sense of our senses. Mm-hmm. And so it's the... yeah, it's the more complete way of feeling something. So that's the color vibration. You could think of it as the music of a color. Right? The way I first really discovered this was at a Shahabadin retreat several years ago when for decades I'd been using my visual cortex for this stuff, and then something made me just think, I am floating in yellowness when I was doing the earth breath. And it made all the difference in the world. I was just kind of like in a kind of a bath of that color. It just all of a sudden it all made sense to me. So we have breath pattern and color vibration. Then we have the energy direction. You all know that with breath, we use prana and breath to direct energy. So healers direct energy to certain parts of their body and also just through their breath to bring healing energy. If we want to contact somebody with our subtle mind, we direct energy to that being. Right? We did it earlier tonight when we were directing the energy of our heart to our loved ones, to our brethren, to our teachers, etc. So in each of these breaths of the purification breaths, there's a direction. Earth is, anybody know? Spreading. So you're partly right, Lynn. It's down here towards the earth, but it's spreading. I don't have an image. Like.
Butter. Melting butter.
Melting butter.
I like the picture of the mountains in Mexico where there's this little hard crumb on the top and then it's like sand, almost flat.
Yeah.
Like the mountains are just...
Okay. Yeah.
Spreading.
Right. The Vesuvial Plain spreading.
Yeah.
Then in water, with water it is naturally... Flowing, but the direction. Remember, we're talking about direction.
Oh, yeah.
Not its nature, but direction. So the nature of earth is solid, the nature of water is fluid, but the direction is
downwards.
And fire, the direction is
upwards,
rising. Air,
spreading?
Zigzag.
Zigzag.
That's what
zigzag. Zigzag.
That is strange to me. Air is zigzag.
I know.
Omnidirectional.
That is the idea. It's going in all directions, mm-hmm. but and we see that through this kind of pattern.
Okay.
If you watch incense go up,
all right.
How does it do it? It doesn't just go, you know, usually straight up. It's on the air currents. Mm-hmm. So air, or watch an eagle soar.
Mm-hmm.
It's zigzag, very slow zigzag, but it's not just one way. It air currents are like this, right? Ether, the source of all elements, the direction is no direction. It's stillness.
Okay.
Yeah. So, what are the three things we talked about so far? Breath pattern.
Direction.
Color. Direction and color. Good. So, the next part of the structure, don't forget, this is very deep. I'm going into great detail tonight. You don't have to do all of... We have to do the breath pattern. That's the basic...
Carry on doing it as I'm going to sleep and yeah. in my bed.
So don't forget, I'm giving you the highly detailed version tonight. Mm-hmm. There's a function of each element. The function of each element, for example, the function of water is washing our being. The function of the earth is filtering. The function of the fire element is burning. The function of air? Scattering and expanding. And the function of ether is dissolution, dissolving. So all the elements have these jobs to do in purification, a function or a job, so to speak. Now there's qualities. You know how we speak of the qualities of God. Mercy, compassion, subtleness, power, forgiveness, all these are qualities, right? Attributes. Each of these breaths have accompanying attributes, such as patience, gratitude, etc. So as we go through this tonight, I will be...
amazed.
I'll be naming these. I don't know if I'll be amazed, but... Maybe you will be. So know that as we're breathing, each of these breaths, they have personalities. That's a way of saying it. Each of these breaths has a personality. And personality attributes which are becoming enhanced. Right? So you can imagine, for example, fire. What would you guess the personality quality of fire is?
Fairly assertive.
Yes.
Courageous.
Courage, passion,
intense.
So, you know, a fiery person, you would be able to describe them. A very earthy person is somebody who's probably more patient. So we'll talk about that. Then, finally, there is what I call the prayer modality. That's my words, because there's a teaching that's given with these breaths of a parallel to the aspects of prayer. So some of you have been to my classes on the five aspects of prayer. I don't ask you, don't expect you to just give those out, but each of the five elements have an association with one of the qualities of prayer. For example, fire is supplication, asking, you know, like it's that form of prayer, you know, that intensity. Air is invocation, called the call of the beloved. So there's that aspect as well. So you can see why you'd need to do these for a lifetime, to really bring all of these together into an integrated whole. All right. Any
you
questions?
Just start adding, like start with one, and because it sounds quite complicated.
Yes, the best way to do this actually is to actually do it with a recording of one of the teachers doing this. You can use this recording on the internet tonight. It's going to be out on the internet if Khalil puts it up in the next few days. I'll send it to him. It'll be up there, so you can do it that way. But also, there's recordings of Pir Zia and Pir Vilayat leading these, which are fantastic. and you just kind of do it enough with them that it just becomes second nature. Or you can do the add-on, you know, start with just the breath pattern. Okay, now I'm going to learn the colors, now I'm going to learn the functions, now I'm going to learn the qualities, the prayer, all that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so...
I think it's a different one called the, when you do those breaths, but it's for healing. That brings it to a specific, like, is it a little different way of doing the same prayer, but it's called healing.
The same practice, you mean?
Yeah, the same practice, but...
This practice is a healing practice. It's always a healing practice.
Oh, okay.
Yep. You're healing your own body. Mm-hmm. Purification is one of the fundamental healings.
Mm-hmm.
So we presume that every day our mind and body and spirit becomes contaminated and dusty, and so we do this practice to purify. We can also use these breaths when we're working with somebody else as a healer. I'm going to just read to you one very, very brief paragraph of Hazrinayak Khan's instructions for this practice. It's all we have, I believe. We have volumes by other teachers, but... the originator of the practice, or the one that gave it to us, wrote or spoke very, very little about it. First of all, he gave the instructions of how to do it, the in and out the nose, etc. But this is the part I wanted to read. By inhaling, think that you receive. By exhaling, that you radiate. What does one exhale and spread? The divine power of the space, which purifies and revivifies one's life, which inspires one and enables the soul to unfold. Now you might want to hear that again. Did everybody get that on one take?
Yeah, no.
What does one exhale and spread? The divine power of the space. What is the space? What does he mean? The divine power of the space. So in Nayaz, the healing prayer, we say, the all-pervading life in space. Does that mean space where the astronauts go? No, it means every accommodation of this manifested world. Every accommodation. The akasha, all the accommodations. So it could be the space of this room, but also the space of our body. So we bring this in, we receive this energy, this life force, and then we radiate out the divine power of the space, which is God, right? Which purifies and revivifies one's life, which inspires one and enables the soul to unfold. Now the kicker, this thought must constantly be kept in mind during this exercise. So in addition to the breath, the color, vibration, what else?
Quality.
The qualities.
The modalities.
The modality, the prayer modality, the function.
The direction.
The direction. Mm-hmm. On top of all that, constantly keep in mind that we're receiving... by inhaling, think that you receive. By exhaling, you radiate. What does one exhale and spread? What you've received, the divine power. Prana, the divine power, which purifies and revivifies one's life, which inspires one and enables the soul to unfold. That's the thought. Receiving the infinite power of the divine being, radiating that out in our own expression of it. One more little bit. The breath is the current which is established between all planes of the human being's existence. Its current runs from the life unseen to the life on the surface, thus uniting spirit and matter both. I wanted to read that one sentence, although I think when I send out this paper, I think I'll send out that whole reading. I just don't think we can take in too many words at this point of the evening. They say that this current unites the seen and the unseen in our beings. So we feel the breath, this breath, but it unites that surface part of our being with the deepest part of our unseen inner world. That's what the breath is. All right. So shall we get active and do some practice? All right. If a person doesn't like to stand or can't stand because they're fatigued or sick, Mercer says do it in a chair. Lying down is not the best way, but you can even do it lying down if you are really infirm. Standing is ideal. So I'm assuming that most of us will be standing, but if you need to sit, by all means, that's just fine. All right. I wonder, maybe the way I'd like to do this is to give instructions for each of the elements and then stand up and do that element and then sit down and like do the next one, because this is our class of theory. So if you need a stretch, stand up and stretch, but I'm going to spend about 3 or 4 minutes talking about how we're going to do the earth element, for example, and then we'll stand up and do it together. Okay? Now, if you're yawning and tired, do the Khasav breath a little bit. It's a denser breath, but it's actually very effective.
Actually, it's more effective for me if I breathe out with my mouth.
Yes, you do it that way too.
How do you say that?
That's a good question, because I've only seen it written, but I'm presuming it's Khasav. Q-A-S-I-F.
Okay.
But you could say Khasav if you can't do the right.
I wasn't sure if you're saying Khasav.
No. Khasav is with a B at the end.
Yeah.
Khasav is with an F.
Yeah.
But I've got to ask Simi. I think we determined last week it's probably Arabic, not Farsi. Mm-hmm. And I could ask Simi and also Zia. Okay. Earth. The breath pattern is in and out the nostrils. Now, when we do the contemplation, I'll do in more detail, but the essential part of the contemplation, and I didn't say that before, by the way, that each of the breaths has a kind of a contemplation, a way to focus our minds besides the receiving and radiating, which is universal through all the breaths. So with the earth breath, the way Pierre Vilayet taught this, which is the way I've generally taught it, is that the idea is that you are extending out spent magnetism from your magnetic field. So it's like a little magnet and a huge magnet. Well, the huge magnet is going to draw the magnetic field, the smaller magnet, into it. So we're working with the Earth's magnetic field and our magnetic field, which is a known fact. We all have magnetic fields around our body. And the Earth's function is to filter, so we extend down and let go on the exhalation, imagining all of our denser, more polluted magnetism to just be drawn down. Then on the inhalation, we draw up from the Earth, and that very powerful, pure magnetism of the Earth comes up through our being, and it's filtered through all the chakras and extends out into every part of our being. I gave you the short version there. I'll give you the longer version as we're doing it. The color vibration, anybody?
Ochre.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see yellow. Other times a teacher will say it's actually towards ochre, mm-hmm. which is the color of the sannyasin's robes in the Vedantic tradition. It has a bit of orange in it. So depends who you're talking to. I think about not daffodil buttery yellow, but more towards ochre, like a beautiful field of I think about the golden wheat fields, which in a certain light has a little bit of that reddish quality, but it's really subtle, so that we can call it a golden yellow or ochre if you prefer. The energy direction,
Spreading.
The function I've already said is filtering. The qualities, this makes sense to you, patience, endurance. If I have a student who's very impatient, I would give that person a lot of earth breath practices because it builds endurance and patience. And also humility. The earth characteristic is humble. And the prayer modality is gratitude. Okay? So, that's what we're going to do right now. So everybody please stand. And as we do this, I'm also going to be reading a little bit of Pir Vilayat's teachings on, like, or words about the breath. So some of this will be my words, some of this will be Pir Vilayat. You'll probably recognize when I do the transition because my words are different than Pir Vilayat's words. Now let's thank you. Perhaps maybe spread out a little bit, just a little bit anyway. Different parts of the living room. Okay. Do you remember the posture? You feel very balanced with your feet, really connected to the earth. The hands are slightly inclined forward. You can count your breaths. I forgot to mention in the structure of the breath, we do 5 of these breaths. Tonight, because we're doing a training, we'll be doing far more than 5. We'll be doing a much longer set, in other words. But in your daily practice in the morning, you do 5 breaths in and out the nostrils. 5 breaths for each of the elements. So breathing in and out the nostrils and attuning in an inward way, bowing to the element of the earth, acknowledging this element. And the breath has a natural rhythm. With all these breaths, we use a very natural breath, not an extended breath in any way. It's a very naturally flowing breath with no retention. And as you exhale, let the impurities in your magnetic field be drawn down to the larger magnet, that of the earth, which draws off the denser, more stale magnetism. And when you draw the breath in, you reverse that process. You're drawing up the electromagnetic field of the earth into your field as you inhale. So this breath is an electromagnetic breath. You're immersed in a whole zone of magnetism with the earth breath. The color vibration that you're saturated in is a golden yellow. And as you direct the energy in the radiance of your exhalation, it's a spreading. So as the magnetism, the stale magnetism is being drawn down to the earth, it takes your pollution, in other words, there's a feeling of that spreading that we talked about earlier. We're enhancing the qualities of humility, endurance, and patience. And this breath is, without any words of prayer, is a prayer of gratitude. Ideally, the in-breath and the out-breath are the same length of time, and one should not hear the breath. You're using the Latif breath here. If at all possible, make the breath imperceptible by your ears. practicing stillness of the body and stillness of the mind, great concentration. Remember the prescription from Hazranayak Khan. We are receiving on the inhalation. What are we receiving? Divine blessing and baraka of that element. When we exhale, we're radiating. What are we radiating? The blessing of life and space. And we keep that thought in mind constantly in the practice. If it just becomes rote or mechanical, it loses its effect and its power. Do you feel like we should just keep standing, or do you want to sit down and talk about the next element? You have a vote for sitting?
Yeah,
or you can choose, I suppose. It's optional. I'm going to sit.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
So, as we're going through and we're thinking about the color and we're thinking about the prayer modality, do we have to keep remembering, or can we sort of set it?
It will be said in the same way that when you sing a song that you've sung all your life, you can sing it when you're going under the knife on an operating table and, you know, your whole body is asleep, but there it is, Our Father who art in heaven. What was it? Was it Lord's Prayer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So, at first, though, it is like juggling lots of things or keeping lots of plates spinning in the air. One has to keep on going, oh, yeah, I was thinking about the humility, but I forgot about the yellow. And, you know, where's the breath again?
So you
just keep practicing it until it becomes second nature. All these things become just this integrated thing. Like when I play the guitar, I don't have to think about what's my right hand doing, what's my left hand doing, what's my shoulder doing, what's my voice doing. It's just done enough that it all becomes quite integrated.
Thank you.
Any other questions about the earth purification breath?
I find it really hard to stand perfectly still. I want to kind of do a sway kind of thing. I don't know how much I'm actually swaying, but in my body I'm not just...
Especially when you're standing.
That is actually the way we keep our balance.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to. We might have to move enough to actually continue to stay balanced.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on our vestibular system.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing that, though, more out of a kind of, you know how when some people meditate, they do it as kind of a hypnotic thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do not recommend that for this practice,
mm-hmm.
or for any practice for that matter. It's not a Sufi way to really do that. Although I find myself doing it, I don't recommend it. It's not intentional. But if you're standing and you find yourself swaying a little bit, it might just be because that's how we locate ourselves vestibularly in our balance. Yeah. Just keep it as subtle as you can. That's all I can say.
I'm glad you mentioned balance, because I noticed my eyes closed and I was like,
ooh. You may find if your eyes are open, which is fine with this practice, to keep your eyes open, absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, you want to be able to do all these practices with eyes open and closed. Because we go through our life with eyes open, so it's good to be able to actually do these with your eyes open. Other questions about earth?
Yes, I have found it helpful sometimes when doing the earth breath to actually visualize a stretch of earth, maybe that one particularly likes.
Yes.
It will, I have found, produce a deeper feeling of connection.
You know, I do the same thing, but we also should keep in mind that we are not just working with the form of this element.
Mm.
So if the form helps us to move to the formless,
mm-hmm.
that is a good thing. But if the form limits us, to just think about earth as dirt, you know, like mountains and the solid things of this life, we miss out on the essence of the element. So we're working with the attuning to the element, not to its manifestation. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when, for example, we're going to move to water, it might help us to think about waterfalls and water coming out of taps and dew falling from leaves and things like that. But ultimately, we transcend that into the feel and the essence of the element itself, which is its music, so to speak. Right? So, does that make sense?
Well, I don't agree. That it's just the way that I've done it. And
it's the way I've done it, too.
I used to go off into long descriptions of nature.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got used to it.
No, I do it the same way. I don't think we're actually disagreeing.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what we're doing is working with the unseen aspects of the element as well.
Mm.
And these things, like when Pierre Vilayat would take us up into the immaculate state of ice and snow, it's so that we can actually not be in ice and snow, but we can be in the vibration of ice and snow, so to speak. Mm. So I don't think we're disagreeing. All right. Water. The water element. If the earth element is really... its function is filtering with what is solid in us, both in form and also in the more subtle aspects of our being, the solid components of personality, for example. Water is the fluid. So the emotions, the blood, a variety of things are the focus of the purification with water. Now, let's go through all the different components first of all. What's the breath pattern?
In through the nose and out through the mouth.
In through the nose, out through the mouth. The way, when I first learned this, when I was 20 years old, I've been doing this practice since 1974, I got confused between water and fire. You know, wait a second. In the mouth and out the nose, in the nose, out the mouth. Which one is it? The image that worked for me finally was the fire-breathing dragon blows fire out the nose. So I finally got it when I had this image. That helped me. So, water in the nose, out the mouth.
But also just that the fact that it flows downwards, it's naturally...
There you go. That's very good.
Yeah.
It's a down... It descends.
Yeah.
That's a good... mnemonic?
Drooling.
All right. It's good to have a court jester. Thank you very much.
Were you asking my mnemonic?
That's your mnemonic, please?
Yeah.
Really? Oh my God. Okay, I don't want to ask anybody else lest we find other ones. So there's a contemplation with this. I know Pierre Vilayat's contemplations because we don't have Hazrat Nayakhan's. Pierre Zia's are a little bit different and very elegant in themselves. The most common one that Pierre Vilayat would give was that as we breathe in, rather than that kind of downward spreading that we had in earth, we are rising up and going into this land of pure spirit. He called it the immaculate state, and he gave ice and snow as the image for that. Ice and snow being crystallized water.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the descending exhalation, this is the descending purifying washing function of the water element, it just becomes this waterfall of pure spirit, and it washes your whole being. Imagine a waterfall of pure, pure spirit coming out of that immaculate state. I'll go more into it when we do the breath. The color vibration that we saturate ourselves in?
Is it green?
Sea green.
Sea green.
Sea green. as opposed to emerald green, as opposed to jade green, as opposed to, you know, Irish green or whatever it is, sea green. So it has elements of blue in it. Right? Y'all know what sea green looks like?
Turquoise.
So it's lighter than turquoise.
It's more green than turquoise. Turquoise is more blue than sea green. It has more blue in it. Well, at least the way I see it. Color is very subjective, yeah, too. You know, it's not like there's a definition of it, although in the, you know, when you go to the working with color in the digital world, you know, you can actually see that, you know, 54 of this one, 48 of this one. It's really fun to do that. But anyway, your idea of sea green, let's just put it that way. The function of water, I've already mentioned it.
Cleansing.
It's all cleansing. All these breaths are cleansing, but how do you cleanse with water?
Wash.
You wash. So the function of this is washing, as opposed to the cleansing function of earth, which is filtering. You know how you filter things, it's also kind of cleaning. Like, you know, when you use your screen for rocks and things, that's filtering. So the energy direction is descending. The qualities, generosity, sympathy. Generosity and sympathy. The prayer modality is repentance. It associates with the quality of prayer, which we call repentance. All right. We'll be moving a little bit faster now. I just saw what the time is. And let's stand up. Assume the position. All right. Again, reminding ourselves the constant thought, receiving and radiating. And we attune to the element of water within ourselves. We kind of bow as if we're bowing to a prophet or to a great being. This is the great being of the water element. And we begin to breathe in the nostrils, out the mouth, with our natural subtle breath, quite noiseless, keeping the body fairly still. And as we inhale, we lift ourselves up, we lift our whole being up into this very rarefied place of pure spirit, the immaculate state, which Pure Vilayat likens to a being of ice and snow. We become ice and snow, we become kind of crystallized spirit in this place. And as we exhale, there's a descending waterfall of pure spirit which washes our whole being. It's like a drastic purification, as if we were in a waterfall. The force of it is quite strong, but it's not the force of like physical water, but this is the force of pure spirit. This is that essence of water that we were talking about before. When you're breathing out, this descending of pure spirit comes in through an opening. The open window of the crown chakra, right through the crown of the head. And it just bathes the whole body through the spine and all the subtle centers, to every cell of the body, through the nervous system and all the tissues, bathes it in pure Qudus, pure spirit. You feel that vitalizing the body and purifying the body. You're saturated as if you were swimming in an ocean of a color vibration, which is sea green. And as you do this breath, is an enhancing of your sympathetic qualities and your generosity. We first experience the baptism of earth. This is the baptism of water. Finish the water breath there. Normally in your practice there would only be 5 of those. Those of you who'd like to sit down again, you can sit. We'll go through the detailed training on fire. Now, the fire element is interesting. First of all, the breath pattern is the reverse. So, in the mouth, out the nostrils, it's very easy. You've just done the reverse of that with water. The color vibration is... the basic prescription is red. But as you go into the more subtle and evolved forms of this practice, you don't stay with red. Pure Vilayak taught that you're going through the whole pull of the spectrum of light, which at the bottom is infrared, and at the top is science class, ultraviolet. So it's the hot to the cool part of the spectrum of light. And this corresponds to the red of the solar plexus, the furnace, and the ultraviolet of the third eye into the very crystalline, diamond-like light of the crown chakra. And so you're working with fire, the fire aspect of the fire element, the hot part of it, especially on the in-breath. On the out-breath, you're working with light. Fire and light are part of this element. You with me? Barely. As you breathe in, you're breathing into the solar plexus and stoking the furnace. You're breathing in through the mouth. And it's heating. It's in the Tibetans practice this breath we talked about last week, Tummo. And practitioners of that can sit down in snow, take 20 breaths, and they will melt the snow around them. So this is a very physical force as well as a spiritual force. We're stoking the fire. As we breathe out through the nostrils, that is rising, and the redness of that infrared part of the fire element becomes more like a sunrise in the heart. It radiates out like a sunrise, so it has the golden parts of that light spectrum on top of the red, like sunrise. And then into the, as it rises, you can also work with blue in the physical eyes, violet in the third eye, and diamond out of the crown. But I recommend as you begin this to just do the heart. In the solar plexus, fiery red, out, radiating in all directions, not just in the front of you, radiating in all directions, heart light energy, like the lion. I always think of the lion as being the animal totem. Maybe we'll add that just to one more complicated layer of the breaths is animal totems for them. Now, the function of fire is, we use fire, is burning. We burn things. Remember our classes on impressions, getting rid of impressions? We bury in earth. We drown and wash in water. So with fire, we use something to burn the impression. So we purify through burning the qualities, passion, courage, and truthfulness. So it's the night, you know, the night of the integrity of
Blood means white night.
Yeah. And we now have this whole order of the knighthood of purity. You know, it's this very fiery part of our training. And the prayer modality, as I said before, is supplication. We're asking for something. Please keep this person in good health. It has to have passion and fire to it. Okay. And the direction? Rising. Yes, which we're doing right now. And I'll make this one short because I think everybody is quite tired.
All right. Just getting more oxygen into it.
If we had open windows and we were doing this outside, nobody would be yawning.
Mm. I find it interesting, like they use it for going to sleep. You're saying it should be done in the morning and it vitalizes you.
Yes, yeah. So you have an association.
I condition myself to exactly. That it sends me out there.
It's like me with reading. I read myself to sleep. Now I look at a book. And you don't even have to open the book. I look at a book and I fall asleep. All right, fire. We're in the position with the constant thought of receiving on the inhalation infinite power, and as we radiate, we're radiate, as we exhale, I mean, we're radiating the power of space. Breathing in the mouth, out the nostrils. The color vibration is red on the in-breath, and the breath energy rises and purifies us through that infrared part of the color spectrum. And then as we breathe out, think about that golden sunrise color out of the heart. It's this magnificent color. And you can also follow it up, if you like, to the more cooler parts of the spectrum of light, which would be extending blue out of the eyes, violet out of the third eye, and diamond, kind of a diaphanous crystalline light out the crown center. And we're burning impurities with this. You can feel heat in the most concrete sense and also in the spiritual sense with this breath. Qualities of passion and truthfulness. What's left over when we burn away the impurities is the radiance of light. We become beings of pure, loving light. All right. Relax, either standing or sitting. The air element is the fourth element. The breath pattern is breathing in the mouth and out the mouth. A little bit different than that. But, you know. The contemplation with this breath is scattering your consciousness into the universe, scattering your ego into the universe, and then drawing in on the in-breath the vastness of the universe, the vastness of space into your being as you reconstitute your ego that has just been shattered. So this is the equivalent of fana and bacha, annihilation or dissolving and reconstitution in a resurrected state. So that's a really brief example of a contemplation for this element. The color vibration is sky blue, and I'll give you an image for this. Traveling an airplane above the clouds, so you don't even see the clouds. You know that shimmering sky blue that you get up there? So I don't recommend thinking about looking up in the sky and seeing the blue. I recommend being beyond the earth with this, in the vastness of infinite space, like when you're above the clouds. But it's in the blue range of the spectrum. The energy direction here is wafting, might be a nicer way of saying it than zigzag. Maybe that's helpful. Zigzag might sound too straight, wafting. And I think of the eagle on the air currents. The function is scattering and expanding. So we can purify through expanding our being. The qualities of air is freedom and creativity. Standing, please. Some exercise for our legs tonight. Standing, sitting, standing, sitting. Assuming our position for the breath. So begin by really focusing. Well, first of all, we bow to the element, to air, inwardly. We exhale through the mouth, and you think of the vastness of space, attuning to sky blue. And as you think of the vastness of space, you imagine scattering your physical being, which includes your body, but also scattering that the rigid nafs, the rigid ego. It's like you just dissolve into a billion little specks. And as you breathe in, you're going to gather in the vastness of the whole universe into your being, so that you reconstitute. It's like, oh, I'm no longer dissolved and not here anymore, but I'm here. But the I is no longer the I that I breathed before my in-breath. It's a transformed I-ness. One that has a much more expanded consciousness. So there's a scattering on the out-breath, including the emotions and the mind and the body. Your whole sense of personal self is scattered as you breathe out. You inhale through the mouth. You don't just confine yourself again to the ego consciousness. You think of your ego as a whirlpool that is built out of the convergence of the whole ocean of space. This practice is a wonderful practice by and of itself, because in our path we practice dissolution. We lose the fear of death through practicing dissolution, such as in the zikr, La ilaha illallah. In this breath we're practicing exactly that, so that when death of anything comes, the end of anything, including the end of our physical form here, we accept that because we're no longer afraid of it. I'm going to keep us standing for ether and speak very briefly about ether. Ether is the source of all elements, so it's the element out of which all the other elements emanate. Its function is dissolution, sort of an absolute dissolution, whereas air was expanding and then coming back into form. In ether it's dissolving into unity, into oneness. Its color is smoky gray or foggy. Its breath is in and out the nostrils very subtly. In and out the nostrils and mouth, but so subtly that you may not even sense any movement of physical breath. Its qualities is pure light and spirit and essential nourishment. Its prayer modality is communion, oneness. When I do this breath, I fold my hands over my heart. You don't have to do that. I'm not really sure if I ever learned that or I just started doing it. I think I learned it from some teacher. And that's the breath of ether. So let's say the prayer Nayaz together, those of us who know it. And if you don't know the healing prayer, just feel this in the heart. We extend our hands up, palms facing out. Beloved Lord, Almighty God, through the rays of the sun, through the waves of the air, through the all-pervading life in space, purify and revivify me, and I pray, heal my body, heart, and soul. Since we're standing tonight, let's join hands in a circle. So let's feel all those qualities all at once that we've just revitalized, such as gratitude and passion, generosity, sympathy, pure spirit, kindness, this through our lives so that we become a vehicle for other people's cleansing, even just by them being in our atmosphere. Sometimes we're just in, we're close to somebody, we just feel so cleansed afterwards. And of course the opposite can be true as well. So let's hope that we've become beings that people say, I just feel so, like I've just taken the most wonderful shower when I've been around that person. I just feel so good. Let's say the Chatzim together. O Thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear Thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us Thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us Thy great goodness. Teach us Thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide us. Send us the peace of Thy divine Spirit, and unite us all in Thy perfect being.
Amen.
Okay, thank you all for your patience. I'm sorry that it went on longer than usual, but and I will try to send you a Word file as well as perhaps an audio file once I find the best recording of one of the peers in this practice. Yeah. So that might take a little while to me to search it out.
I can't get the audio.
Blessings to all.